Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Today, we have two guests from the marketing agency Admirasia. Please welcome Selena Gur, Director of Strategic Planning, and Maxwell Davidson, Chief Integrations Officer. Selena, let's start with you. Please tell us about your role at Admirasia.
Hi, everyone. This is Selena. I oversee the overall strategic planning and consumer research for all of our clients.
Great. Thank you. And Maxwell, Chief Integration Officer.
Hey, thanks for having me. In terms of my roles and responsibilities at Admirasia, I kind of operate between the crux of data analytics, creative and digital for all of our clients, focusing on Asian American target audiences, audiences in Asia, and also mainstream audiences here in the US. On the day to day, that means spending a lot of time looking at code.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on. I mean, what kind of sparked me reaching out to you all is that the report that you've done regarding kind of the specific challenges Asian Americans are facing right now. But before we dive into that, would love to hear kind of an overview of the Asian American consumer. I think lots of marketers hear one or two kind of sound bites. The number one, you know, Asian Americans are the fastest growing minority group in the US. But I know it's much more complex with that than that. So would love to hear just kind of some data points in terms of growth, purchase power, diversity and country of origin, you know, just some shed a little bit more light for the listeners in terms of the picture of a Asian American consumer.
Sure. You absolutely said it right. Asian Americans are the fastest growing minority group here in the U.S. And we typically categorize this market, with four distinctive characteristics. So we call it FACT. So F-A-C-T. So F stands for fastest growing. So right now we have about 22.6 million Asian Americans here in the U.S., and it's about 6% of the total American population. It's an incredibly diverse, actually, segment. Under this umbrella term of Asian Americans, we have Chinese, Asian Indian, Vietnamese, Korean, Filipino, etc. But overall, the five key ethnicity I just mentioned together account for about 80% of the total Asian American population. Talking about this kind of fast growth and where has it, you know, where does it come from? A lot of recent immigrants actually come from, especially China and India, are fueling this growth. Actually, there was historic shift, the new entrance to the U.S. happened in 2014. So actually, starting from that year, new immigrants flow from Mexico actually for below those from China and India. So we see a lot of international students and working professionals coming to the U.S. From Asia, and those are the main body of the new immigration. And a lot of them, after they stay a couple of years here, attending universities or grad school, undergrad school, they tend to work, stay here to work. And a lot of them work in high-tech industries or business or finance, etc. So that's why you will see that their overall income or buying power actually are pretty high. So that's why we talk about the second characteristic is, the letter A stands for affluent. So overall income-wise, the median household income for Asians, I believe it's over 90,000 per year compared to the general market, which is around 60,000. So you see there is different gap there. And also talking about the collective buying power of Asian Americans as a whole, the number passed 1 trillion in 2019 and is going to be reaching to 1.3 trillion by 2023. I think there's an estimate from Nielsen. So 1.3 trillion, actually, that equals the entire GDP of Australia. So that's how strong the buying wow. power is for Asian Americans. And, you know, there is a very interesting aspect of our affluent Asian American buyers. You know, in general market, in U.S. total market, the majority of the wealth or the wealthiest generation or segment by age group actually are baby boomers, right? But for Asian Americans, actually are millennials, because a lot of recent immigrants, they come from wealthy or affluent upbringing families in Asia. So, and a lot of them, especially from China, the whole generation of one-child policy. So they are the single heir of their entire family's wealth. That's why they come here. They have a much more sort of comfortable lifestyle and living, etc. And then they do shop a lot. They spend a lot compared to the total audiences. Interestingly, for Tesla, you know, Asian just counted for 6% of the total U.S. population, but they actually counted for, I think, over 24% of the total Tesla sales nationwide back in 2018. So that represents how sort of affluent and, you know, tech savvy and how aspirational this group of shoppers are. And then we talk about C. The letter C actually represents culturally confidence. So in the past couple of years, we actually see in a lot of emerging voices come from Asian Americans from different kind of industries, including, say, chef like David Chang from in the food categories, even in the political arena, we see Andrew Yang actually emerging to be one of the most popular presidential candidates last year as well. And also the CEO of Google or Microsoft are actually foreign-born Asian Indians. So there is a significant rise of Asian American voices in the mainstream, and we are very proud of that progress. Then in the end, letter T actually represents trailblazing. So I think this defines the technology overall, the early adopter kind of behavior from Asian Americans. So they are over-indexing jobs in technology sector, as well as they're heavily influenced by the innovations going on in Asia, which actually is pretty fascinating and interesting. So they carry over a lot of, very tech savvy behavior when they come to the US and live here and become actually trendsetters for the general market, especially in technology side. So FACT, fastest growing, affluent, culturally confident, and trailblazing. We often categorize the Asian American market in this particular aspect.
That was a pretty amazing overview. So thank you for that. I think the thing that stood out for me the most that I didn't know was how wealth is so different generationally, right? When we look at the general market concentrated more among baby boomers versus in the Asian American market concentrated more around millennials. What do you think the implications are of that? Do you see any brands? You mentioned Tesla. Do you see, because most of the messaging, when you think about higher income, I do think about older consumers, and that is reflected in advertising and messaging. Are there any brands that are targeting this wealthier millennial Asian Americans? Are there any examples of brands or companies or messaging doing it well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of our clients, for example, are focusing on the millennial age group. So from 25 to 44, so they are the core spenders in the Asian American household. And we do see that brands reaching out to these audiences with a different kind of approach where they do not stereotype. They capture those very aspirational and very different kind of lifestyles and this new group of Asian Americans they are living. And there are different kind of passion points. They are much more expressive and much more vocal example, compared to the previous generation where we see more language dependent or more, living in those Asian American neighborhoods. Now the new generation, they spread in different kind of states and heavily connected online. So that's why we see brands tend to use more digital and social way of engagement to reach out to our targets and use a different, more lighthearted tone to reach out to them to capture their passion point and interest. But yes, I think there is a growing need out there for even more brands to recognize the spending power and the affluence of this group out there. Yep.
Yeah, that's some great advice. And we're recording this, amidst a pandemic. So some of the other things that jumped out to me when you were talking about a fact was, the primary or a large source of Asian immigrants being students. I would imagine that, the pandemic is affecting that, as well as some immigration policies.
Felina, do you want to take that?
No, I was actually just about to say that, Max, I think you have the perfect answer for this.
I think we're seeing impact across the board for all parts of the Asian American communities in the wake of COVID-19. So outside of the challenges that we're all facing, there's a very specific and distinct set of challenges for the Asian American community. I think outside of things that are happening on a policy change level and difficulties that we're seeing in immigration and the constant flux inside of there, there's more immediate concerns as well. Most of all, the rise of acts of targeted hate that have been kind of a byproduct of this wave of xenophobia that we've seen in the wake of COVID-19. It's very disturbing, especially when you look at the data about it. So on the business side specifically, with Asian-owned small businesses, we see that the financial impact was felt months before the lockdown came into place, or the hard lockdown. So there was a lot of rumor, misinformation, and innuendo that caused people to avoid businesses. And some of these businesses saw near an 80% revenue drop over that period. And again, this is prior to any hard implementation of stay-at-home orders. But as this crisis continues to manifest in some way, there are larger issues at play in terms of personal safety. So for example, A3PCon, who's been collecting self-reporting data on this increase in instances, has gotten 1,700 reports since March 16th on acts of hate that have been perpetuated against members of the Asian American community. And they aren't the only organization collecting this data right now. So this is a nationwide sort of secondary pandemic that's taking place. And with that said, everyone operating inside or around these communities felt compelled to take some degree of immediate action, and everyone operated inside of their capabilities to do so, what they could do in the short term looking at this crisis. In times of darkness, you kind of have two options, right? You can either light a candle or get lost in the dark. So all of these organizations across the country and Asian-owned businesses and influencers did what they could to light a candle. And for us, we've had the opportunity to collaborate with many of them on building a platform called racismiscontagious.com. And what we're looking to do with that is aggregate and centralize all of this reporting and information and map it. So if you go to that site, you can see that we have an interactive map there that allows you to click in and see verified and vetted media reporting against all of these instances that are taking place. And we've collected hundreds since February when we started aggregating this data. So the organizations that we've aligned with in this effort include NextShark, which is the largest or one of the largest Asian American focused media companies, as well as Hate is a Virus, which is a grassroots social movement that's working to create more visibility around this issue. So we're working with them now and other resources across this country to create clear pathways for support, whether that be in terms of law enforcement or civil rights organizations, so that we can act and address these challenges that have come up amid the crisis.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what's happening, unfortunately, there isn't a lot of media or spotlight really put on that. And if anything, it's downplayed, unfortunately. And so I really commend you for, you know, what AdMirAsia is doing in terms of compiling and making this data easily accessible. And I like the metaphor that you use in terms of what people, companies, governments can do in terms of, you know, either be a candle or be in darkness. And I think that, you know, one thing that I've been thinking about through all this is, you know, how we've been seeing a lot, obviously, of just messaging, we're all in this together, you know, kind of figuring out what messaging is like during a pandemic. But when we look at companies specifically reaching out to Asian American consumers, I mean, what are ways that, you know, brands and companies can show empathy towards what's happening to Asian American consumers, what they're facing specifically, given what's happening, you know, without coming off as opportunistic? I mean, have you seen any examples of brands and companies kind of using this in a positive way?
I think, first of all, brands, they need to start to recognize this situation to begin with, and then show their empathy and do something that shows their generally care about this community. So actually, unfortunately, we haven't seen many brands, you know, do so to engage the Asian American community, trying to comfort them or reassure them that they are being supported. That's why, you know, through all of our initiatives, not just from our own company, but from a vast network of influencers or organizations out there, we're trying to get more mainstream from media or from brand, from organization, all of them trying to help more, to do more to support the community. But we have been doing some engagement with corporate side as well. So actually we are doing a panel discussion with a group of Asian influencers out there and entrepreneurs as well, with the beauty giant L'Oreal Group. So trying to discuss this situation and how can they help. So I think this is a good starting point.
Yeah, so that just to piggyback on that, in terms of showing empathy and being organic in messaging when addressing this as well, what we were talking about with the grassroots organizations and the influencers that are out there working to address these issues currently, the month of May is AAPI Heritage Month. So along with that, there are a whole bunch of really great virtual events that are going on, concert series and talks being organized by different entities inside of the space. And a lot of them are looking for corporate support at this time, or for brands to get more involved. Specifically, Hate is a Virus, who was our partner with racismiscontagious.com, is doing an event on the 23rd of this month called Raise a Million, where they're looking to raise funds for small businesses directly impacted by the rise of xenophobia in the wake of COVID-19. And they've got a great program that's being put together with that as well. Also, our partners at ISA, which is a group of influencers and content creators, is also staging an event, which is actually a migration of an event that they've been doing for a few years now, to the online space, which is also being used to raise money for additional educational materials about this issue, and also raising money for doctors operating inside of the space. So these opportunities are there. You know, the brands just need to be more aware so that they can kind of cross that bridge and get involved directly.
That's great. And I think you've set up a platform for brands at least to take the first step, right? Which is education and knowledge, of course. So thank you both. I think this was a great podcast. Lots of information there. For people, I know you mentioned a couple of the websites. Would you mind repeating some of the websites and give some information on how people can find Admirasia online as well?
Sure. I think, one of the best ways to reach us is at admirasia.com. And currently on Admirasia, there is a new report that was authored by Selena on some data that we've compiled and surveys that we've taken from not just Asian American consumers, but consumers across the board on certain insights and driving motivational factors in the post-COVID-19 world and on the road to recovery. You can also check out racismiscontagious.com, which is the site where we're mapping, aggregating data and resources around the rise of targeted hatred in the wake of COVID-19. Another resource to check out is hateisavirus.world, which is one of our major partners inside of this, and neckshark.com, which is the largest Asian American media collective right now, who's been kind of spearheading a lot of the direct reporting on these issues.
Great. Thank you so much, Selena. Thank you, Max. Thank you both for joining the podcast. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com.